Vibe drives.
I said don't laugh.
Vibe tribes. Welcome back, people, to another episode of Vibes and Tribes. This is a hot one. I've been looking to do this one for a long, long time. I'm joined today. It's another family affair by none other than Addy Josh. I don't know if you want to quickly just introduce yourself. Let
big
them know
up
who you
people.
Are.
I go by the name Addy Josh, and right now I'm with my blood, my family. Bio, and right now you're locked into Vibe and Tribes.
There we go. Look to anybody else who comes on after. That's the energy we need when I introduce you. Take notes. You see me? But like we like to do here on Vibes and Tribes, you know, that first question before we get into it. You know, Josh, you're going on holiday. What's the first thing that you're packing, my G?
I'm gonna give you two answers.
Two. Come on.
First thing, it depends on the country. But if it's just like a generic one, I'm going to really just go with, I like to say clothes, but I like to always start with my bottom. So it could be jeans or my combat. It depends how I feel.
Okay.
If we're going to a party island, then we got to bring that protection, bro. That's that first.
Oh, my goodness. Hey, we went there.
You went there, bro. Trust me.
Better to be safe than sorry. Gospel. I feel you. Yeah, guys, today it's another episode of Getting to Know the Tribe. And for those of you who might not have heard Josh before, he's actually a musician. Okay, so we're going to talk about his journey today, where he's at the moment. But before we do that, let's go way, 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 way back as we do. We'll start with sixth form. We're going to start with secondary school.
Oh, yeah.
So where did you go for secondary school first?
I went to a school in Dagenham called Robert Clack. Big up all my clackers.
I love it.
I went to Robert Clack.
Okay. Like for GCSE, what did you study? Do you remember?
Yeah, history, music.
History and music, they were the two main ones.
They were the two main ones that I remember.
Okay, we like that. And how did you find Robert Clark? How did you find secondary school? Do you enjoy it?
That was secondary school for me. That was character building. You had to be strong in secondary school. You had to be strong. The man will be onto you. And you had to stay fly for the ladies. So it was a bit.
So you enjoyed it. Obviously, there's a social aspect. There's an academic aspect to it. But all in all, you had a positive experience at school,
Of course, I believe that's where I really first started singing, if I'm to be real with you.
Oh, okay.
Like, I was graced to do opportunities like perform for Prince Charles. I was
at what age?
Secondary school. He came to the school. I was one of the guys on the tie singing it. The Boys to Men. You know what I'm saying?
Oh my goodness!
So
okay.
Yeah, man. People like Sandy Shaw were on TV. Were doing shows, and that was really when I first started singing. Okay. I didn't take it serious as an artist. It was just kind of a thing.
Something you enjoyed.
I was there.
And okay, so with that then, when you went to Robert Clack, did you like? Is it known for its like musical aspect? And did you know that at the time?
No. But I believe my group of friends, we brought music into that school.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? And from there, like, the head teachers started getting involved. The music teachers started getting involved. Like, I remember my music teacher offered me a job.
Hey.
But she wanted to take me to sixth form, Berkeley's music school.
Okay.
By the time, I thought music weren't going to bring money to the table.
Okay.
Boy, was I wrong.
Okay. Right, that's super interesting. So, okay, you've done your GCSEs, and then what do you do next? Do you do college? Do you do sixth form there? How's it go?
I stayed in Robert Clack for sixth form.
Okay.
Done 2 years there.
Okay, cool.
I wanted to study music.
Yeah.
But at the time, the way I was thinking, again, group of friends, I was just thinking music was not going to bring money to the table.
Okay.
So, yeah, I stayed in Clack for an extra 2 years. So I was there for 7 years in total.
You were there for 7 years in total. Yeah. Okay, and then, all right, you finished sixth form. And do you go straight to university at the time?
Yeah, I went straight to Kent University, Canterbury.
Jeez.
Wanted to do music there, but I thought it wasn't going to bring money to the table. So
that's the theme. That's the theme.
But that's the thing. I feel like I kept on going around in circles to meet. Back at that same point of music.
Yeah. So obviously you got the Clackers from Robert Clack. What are the Cant's crew?
Hey, Cant's crew. Hey, first of all, only the real will recognize real. 143 in Canterbury, we were the guys. You know what I'm saying?
Oh my god, 143.
143. Trust you, we were the guys. You know what I'm saying? So, no, Canterbury was special. That was the birth of Addy, Josh. That
okay.
was the birth of Addy.
So, you said you wanted to do music, but you didn't actually do it there. What did you do at the time?
I studied social policy.
Social policy.
Yeah.
And studying social policy at uni, before, you know, you said this birthed Addy Josh, but was there a plan to use social policy to go into, like, politics, economics? I don't know.
I feel like I just had a very good interest with politics and, like, sociology and whatnot. So it's just kind of more about understanding people and the structures of life. So
okay,
that's what... I was just always interested. I had no plan of what I was going to do with social policy. But I do believe social policy, even studying it, going the whole uni experience, is what kind of molded my social skills.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? And even understanding people.
So, yeah. And then, you know, you mentioned it earlier that, yeah, Kants was the birth of Addy Josh. So when did the penny start to drop that music might have, you know, it might be the way forward for you?
Do you know, is realistically, Addy Josh started as a joke.
Oh, wow.
I was in a place in my life where I just felt like I was the and person all the time. Like, I play keys, and keys is my first love when it comes to music.
I know that.
I remember I'd done a show with a group, and the crowd was going crazy for the group, and I was on stage playing keys, but no one was going crazy for me. You know what I'm saying? So I just felt like the and person, and I just knew I had a calling that was bigger than just being an and person.
Yeah.
So honestly, I remember there was one girl, I have to shout her out every time, her name's Dammy.
Okay.
She'd come to my house, 143, that was the door number. You know what I'm saying? She'd come to my house and she was just annoying me.
Okay.
And for a joke, I said, you know, I'm gonna go upstairs and become an Afrobeat artist, watch. Now, I was very scared when I was dropping my first track, because my expectation for it was, if it doesn't get 500 plays, and SoundCloud was popping them days, my first song being Silver and Gold. If it
that was the first one?
First song, yeah.
Banger, by the way. I'm going to link it in the show notes. I'm just going to stop. Like, I don't want to give away too much yet, but you know, obviously, Josh, you know, we're family and that, and I've listened to the catalogue, but I just went back through the catalogue today on the way here. It's all certified bangers! And that was number one.
That was number one. Like, we started strong. And the reason why that was mind-blowing, what got me to even say, you know, I'm doing this music thing. I remember my expectation for a whole was 500 plays. I think I got 5,000 plays in the first day. And I was just like,
wow.
And then people are just like, oh my gosh, like, no, you need to do music. We need more. And even my boy ATG at the time, he wasn't a producer. But from that song is where we switched on and said, yeah, we have to do this.
Seriously.
So yeah, man. That was
So, you know, talking about Silver and Gold, you know, you just mentioned ATG there at the time. Did he produce that?
Yes, and surprisingly enough, he didn't produce that knowing that I was going to jump on that.
Okay.
At the time, I wasn't an artist. He made the beat 2 years prior to me jumping on it. And the only reason why I had the beat is because my phone synced to my boy's Mac and took all of his music. And then the day that I was going upstairs saying, watch, I'm going to be an Afrobeat artist, I had the plan to just write something to someone else's song. But I went through my music and I heard that little loop. And I was like, oh my gosh. And that's when I first, baby girl, let's go out tonight. I got a recipe to make you feel right. Nah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. That was the first bit. And dots just connected from there. I have to shout out Icon and Obado that honestly helped me bless the song. Icon engineered the song for me. And again, I would like to say it's by chance, but it's really God. God really just engineered everything, and the rest is...
I love to hear that. And, you know, just for the aspiring musicians out there, you know, anybody who has a dream, you know, you spoke about going upstairs and making a song, but then obviously you shouted at a few people there. You know, how long did it take to kind of perfect the song and then actually release it to get those 5,000 views in a day? Was it like a whole day thing, or how long did it take roughly, if you don't mind me asking?
With Silver and Gold, the first verse, that I just, baby girl, let's go out tonight. I'd done that, let's say within 2 hours. Then I just called my boy without a finished song saying, yo, I need to go studio, because he hit me up a day before that saying, hey, I've got a studio in Cairns if you want to jump on. So cut long story short, everything from the release to the recording happened in a space of a week.
Wow.
That's why my expectation for it was just 500 plays and I'm I'm happy. If any, even if one person told me, yo, I don't like this song, I was prepared to delete it.
This is
not for me.
Yeah.
Reaction was a blessing.
You know, obviously we've spoken a lot in the past, so, you know, I've got a good understanding that's your story, but just hearing you, you know, talk about, you know, various people, like, you know, just hollered at you to go to the studio.
Yeah.
You know, you played keys in a band. Like, what do you think it is about yourself where people always just wanted to kind of bring you in on the music thing? Was it for the keys? Was it for the vocals?
Can I be honest with you? And yeah, I'll bro, be lying 100. If I don't say this. God, bro.
I knew that was coming.
Like, you know, I can't lie. Like,
big up G.O.D.
One thing with me, I don't plan anything.
Mm.
Everything just kind of falls in place.
Mm.
Like, I promise you, not a coincidence, but you started asking me questions about what I was doing in secondary school and what I studied in university. I had that conversation for the first time with my manager today.
Yeah.
Just talking, like, dots doesn't, like, it just connects and it don't miss. Everything's just in line with each other, you know what I'm saying? So that's kind of been my journey. I haven't planned anything. It's just happened. Yeah.
You know, they say some things are just meant to be. And what will be. So, all right, you know, we're going to keep at university. So you said, you know, that's where Adi Josh was born. So talk to me about university. Enjoyed it. Don't go into too much detail, Mr. First thing I'm packing is protection. You know?
Again, you know, I feel like every stage of my life has just been a character build. Each stage has its next stage of character learning I need to do.
Mm.
And university, like, We were them guys, like, you know what I'm saying?
I hear that, 143.
143. Now, trust me, so when we had one of the maddest parties, roadblock, everything. So I don't want to use the word bait, but I was known in uni. Okay. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so,
I hear that.
And even with all of that being said, I was just around the right people. You know what I'm saying? People that were supportive and people that had man's back. So uni was, again, it was a great experience. That, again, first time away from home, and it's like, yeah, I could do whatever I want now.
I know.
Its ups and downs. It had its learning curves. I had my up moments, my broke moments.
Yeah.
But just real life, man. Like, uni was an experience that I won't trade for anything else.
I hear that. And, you know, you speak about 143 and the people that you met at university. Mm. Are they still people that you're in touch with?
Of course.
Yeah, in contact with today, yeah.
They're real relationships. We may not talk every day, but they're people that I know that has my back. They support me. The group chat is always active. So, good people, man.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that. And then, so going back to Silver and Gold. So, like you said, you've released it. It's got the 5,000 views.
Mm.
Like, all right, so is that when the plan changes now? All right, I don't want to. All right, I've got this degree. Like, what happens with that? Like, are you still like, okay, let me, you know, get my degree? Or is it now this music thing?
I'm going to keep it real with you. My focus at the time was still uni.
Mm.
I didn't end up graduating. Okay. I ended up leaving uni on my third year.
Okay.
Let's say I had to repeat my third year.
So, okay.
The year I was repeating is the year that I ended up staying in Nigeria to go and do music.
Yeah.
So then I was at the crossroad where it's just like, I know I don't want to do this.
Mm.
But at the same time, I'm chasing my dream. And I was meant to go to Nigeria to do music.
Mm.
But it ended up being something else. But another stage where it was a character molding and I learned a lot going to Nigeria. Mm. So I dropped out of uni with zero regrets. But at the same time, that move is what made me understand that there's more to life than making other people happy.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? I'm for university.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm for making sure that in this life, you chase what you want.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? And that's what I did. And I can only thank God for it, man.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I hear that. So there's just so much to unpack here, but I'm loving it. You've done Silver and Gold now. Like, what's the next song and what's the process for that?
Okay, the next song,
because the first one, it's like, are you a one hit wonder?
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
But do you know what it is? Like, I feel like this music thing for me, again, like, I know I keep on saying the character building and reverie.
Yeah,
like, I was naturally a shy person.
Yeah, so I don't believe that, but yeah,
trust me, like, I don't like, there's a difference between Joshua and Addy Josh.
Yeah, that's a fact.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Joshua's very shy and to himself. But once there's a camera and everything's set. Mm. Adi Josh comes alive. Honestly speaking, I've just gone through different phases of learning, man. And that's what I can say. It's just character building, bro.
Yeah. I hear you. So yeah, going back to what I was saying though, the what was the next song?
I had a song called Make We Go.
Yeah.
And again, how dots connected. There was a comedian at the time that was popping.
Mm.
He jumped in a video for free. Someone that was very, very, had very strong ties in Link Up TV.
Mm.
He helped me with the video. He even jumped into the video. And it was just funny. And I was blessed. At the time, STP was popping. I don't know, the Timbo, Rugs, Cass, STP, they're from South.
Okay.
Don't trust me. They are kind of like the founders. Kind of the founders of the sound, but so I had one of the STP members jump on my song, bless my song, and that was my first music video.
Oh wow,
first ever music video, and I think it got like 100k on YouTube. And I was like,
mad,
okay,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I don't watch the video now though, because you know, when you look back at these,
you look young.
Bro, I was wearing my sister got married and she had like some native clothes, and that's what I wore to her video. She was like,
wow.
But it's been a learning curve. Like, I'll be real with you, even in my journey, it's only in recent years that I've started working with stylists, and oh my gosh, there's DOPs when it comes to shoots and all of this. So it's just been a learning curve.
Just everything's learning. Yeah. So, all right. You know, you mentioned the fact that you didn't finish uni. So you said you ended up in Nigeria. And you said you were meant to do music.
Meant to do music over there.
Okay. How long did you end up staying there for?
I was there for like just under a year.
Did you do any music while you were there?
Yes, I did. I was able to record with like some top producers like Phils, Young John. I met like half the industry there, the Olamides, the Lil Kesh. And even met Wizkid, like,
okay.
Even the Davidos, because my uncle is kind of, he's hot property over there, isn't it? So, again, it was just a learning curve, but they didn't look at me as an artist. I was also a manager in my uncle's club, which a lot of people don't know.
Okay.
And the hardest thing of my life. Nigeria was such a sweet and bitter experience for me, but I learned. And sometimes, man, it's like, diamonds in the dirt. You need to go through that pressure, man, to see the beauty of things. At
yeah. 100%. All right. So you've been to Nigeria. You're back now in the UK. Talk to me about like what's on your mind. What's the plan for Adi Josh?
At the time, when I came back to the UK, there was a set of management that wanted to manage me. And we'd done some work, like big them up again. As I'm saying, like character building and just understanding myself, molding my craft. So I was with them for, let's say, a year and a bit. And we made noise. We were able to do certain shows and record some solid videos. Money Bounce, I don't know if you remember.
Yeah, of course I do.
So shout out Lante Music times 10. Amazing people. And from there, we were just growing, man. Growing. Then from there, with every song, you just think, world domination, I'm going to be the biggest star. But sometimes it's really baby steps.
Yeah,
cool. You know what I'm saying?
And I mean, I always say this to you, but obviously, like I said, when I go through your catalogue, and there's like 10, 15, 20 songs and they're all bangers, like, is there pressure on you to produce an album? Is that going, or like an EP? Is that going through your mind at this time? Or is it just, no, I'm trying to do one song and maybe like tour, do a couple shows? Like, what is going through your mind at the time?
At the time, so just before 2016, just before I went Nigeria, I recorded an EP and I released it on SoundCloud. Why that was special is because, let's say, there was a month that I was just doing back-to-back studio, every day in the studio, and we just ended up having a catalogue, and we said, you know what, let's do an EP. And the EP was titled Confidence, because at that time, I was stepping out of my shell. I was feeling, okay, this is a sound that's unlike me, but stepping out of my shell. So I was confident with that, and I took that to Nigeria. So I had some body of work. So when you go to Nigeria, people is like having a portfolio. People have to, well, what have you done, or what are you up to? So like, this is what I've done. And again, the reason why Olamide took air to me and really rocked with me at the time is because of a song called Pick Up. Like, that song Pick Up really traveled in Nigeria, from clubs to playing it. And like, oh my gosh, I'll never forget the first day that I landed in Nigeria, someone stopped me on the street and said, you're from London, Adi Josh.
Oh wow,
my guy, how far, Papa? But one thing I've noticed about music from the beginning is music travels. Mm. And you don't know how far it travels.
So I don't know if, obviously, you know, you're talking about Nigeria and everything. So Josh is predominantly an Afrobeats artist. If you've not listened to him, don't worry, we're going to share everything after. And yeah, I think for aspiring Afrobeats artists, I think, you know, the Western world, they might think, oh, you want to blow here, blow there. But you look at Wizkid, you look at Davido, they've all done it from, you know, back home, and then they've come over here and it's just like, it's a shutdown, right? So that's what you were trying to do.
No, not per se, because it's in the name. You see Ade, Ade by blood Nigerian, Josh raised in the UK. That's why when I went Nigeria, I went there as a UK guy, like, and they wasn't used to the culture there.
They weren't used
to it. Like, if you're from England, they're like, what do you know? But I went there with my chest, like, yeah, I'm from it. But a lot of the producers over there at the time, some of them didn't even take air to me because it's like they're not used to my sound or how I talk. And
oh, really?
You know what I'm saying? So honestly, I've just always had, I've learned to always live my truth. I'm raised in the UK. At the time, I didn't know how to speak fluent Yoruba. At the time, they used to say my pidgin sounds like I'm Ghanaian. Like, you know what I'm saying?
That's a disrespect.
But at the same time,
that's a disrespect.
You know, is I couldn't blame them because they're not used to.
They're not used.
It's foreign to them, innit?
I feel you. And you know, just for okay, so for any, like, once again, aspiring musicians, right? You know, you've spoken about the body of work. Talk to me about, like, your process. So when you're penning these songs, do you have collaborators who are penning the lyrics with you? And then a second question. Actually, answer that one first, and I've got another one for you.
Majority of my journey, I've just been, I have to feel the music. So I go into the studio, I hear the beat, and I like to say a melody comes first, then the words just match the melody. You know what I'm saying? Of recently, I have a team, so I have to shout out Beverly, my day-to-day manager. I'm in studio, she's the person that green ticks, okay, I like this line, I don't really like this line, or instead of saying this word, say this word instead. Like, okay. You know what I'm saying? So, but more times, I still have that same process. I listen to the beat, I catch the melody, the words come in. Or I might just have a sentence and I build off that. Like, I've just always been a builder. So, yeah, that's my kind of my process.
Okay, and then the second question I had, you kind of answered it, but just a little bit more detail. The beat, right? Like, do you have one predominant producer? I know you've mentioned ATG a few times. Or is it like the music industry? It's just like people are just trying to link up everywhere and it's all about networking.
Yeah, that's the game for you. It's all about networking. But me and ATG started music together, and that started in church.
Okay.
Like, to the point, I'm playing keys, he's playing bass. So we've just always had a musical understanding and a musical ear. So whenever we gel, like, we make magic. But again, like, I've always rocked with ATG, like, again, like, right hand, like, he's always been there, like, and always had my back. So we've just always grew together. Again, when I dropped Silver and Gold, he didn't know. I remember calling ATG with Silver and Gold saying, yo, you're gonna laugh, but I might become an artist.
And I said,
just taking the song. He took in the thing, I was like, yo. And then from me releasing it and the reaction, that's when he switched on that, oh my gosh, maybe I can be a producer. You know what I'm saying? So we've just always helped each other out, like, you know what I'm saying? So
yeah,
man, ATG is my dog. But again, I've worked with many other producers, again, like the owners, OJB, you name it, there's Ronald, there's so many producers.
Of course, there's many. Oh my god, I just had a sick question and it's stepped away from my head. No, I'm gonna remember it. Okay, so yeah, a lot of musicians, you know, when you hear them in interviews and stuff, normally they've got people that inspired them, right? You know, listening to your story, it was like, you know, you was the Ann guy, and then you're like, no, I'm going to be an Afrobeats artist. What was it why Afrobeats? Why not something else? And were you inspired by someone or people, and you're like, yeah, this is my kind of music?
I feel like in the UK, I've just always been around the African community, like, dominantly. Whether that's church, I go to a very African church, white garment. Whether that's school friends, majority of my friends were Nigerian. Like, you know what I'm saying? The live band I was doing was a African live band. So I've just always been in that environment. So I've always had a passion and love for African music and the African sound. Mm-hmm. And even the culture is beautiful, man. The food, I love my jollof rice, I love my pound. So again, it's just...
That's what
molded me. Like,
that's what moves you, and yeah. That's what gets you into the place to kind of deliver the lyrics, mm-hmm. and that. All right, nice. All right, so we'll move on. All right, so yeah, we've talked about uni, we've talked about Nigeria, and I feel like the first few songs, that was like the SoundCloud sessions. Mm. All right, now let's progress into, you know, the added Josh BC today on Spotify. You know, all of the different collabs that you've done. Talk to me, talk to me about getting on Spotify for the first time. How does that even happen?
Honestly, I have to big up a guy called Tolu. He's a genius, man. Like, someone that's always rocked with me and even up to today has my back. Mm. He's taught me a lot with the game. Like, okay, this is what you do. Like, the whole transition from SoundCloud to Spotify, it's more of his call. Like, okay. I didn't say, oh my gosh, this is what I got to be doing. And
yeah,
I've just always gone with the flow. That's me. Like,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
But he's kind of been the man behind it. But I feel like as an artist, where I started, let me say, when the money started coming in, when I learned something about myself,
yeah.
I had to stop learning to want to please the crowd and just take a step back to appreciate what's on my plate.
Mm.
So, and I feel like that moment happened for me when I dropped a song called It's a Vibe, yeah. and Cherry B. So that was kind of like my first viral encounter. And that's the song why Virgin EMI reached out to me.
Mm.
And that's the song that kind of got me signed. Like, I was like, okay. And from there, like, even what the money that was coming in, forget the labels and that, like, of streaming numbers, was kind of the first time I'm thinking, yo, I'm not getting paid for this.
Okay,
like,
yeah,
saying?
Yeah, yeah.
But again, why I always say each stage is a learning curve, because this after Silver and Gold to about It's a Vibe, I was always trying to please the masses.
Mm.
And then I will kind of get bummed out with the results and think I'm doing all the right stuff, but I'm not getting the results I want.
Mm.
Until I said, you know what? I don't care what the masses say. If I just have two people that rock with me, that's who I'm catering to. And I believe I started doing that. Then my fan base really started growing and
yeah.
I started going places and people, oh my gosh, you're Adi Josh.
Mm.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Mm. So, yeah.
Yeah, just a piece of advice from me, because, you know, I read a lot of books at the moment and a lot of self-help. And something I read over and over again is that there's only one you, so you should... Like, that's your superpower, right? That's your USP. There's no point trying to be someone else because nobody can replicate you, or people who try and replicate you, they're going to have to work 1,000 times harder than you, to who's just naturally being yourself, right? So
I'm going
to
keep it real with you. Like, you, not even, these guys are all my brothers. It's like, Sona is a perfect example. You remember Sona.
Mm.
Sona is an amazing artist and he plays part even in my own story. Like, he inspired me. You know what I'm saying? However, I had a lot of people in my ear saying, yo, you need to be like him and do everything he's doing. And there's times that I realized that I wasn't being true to myself.
Mm.
That's why you see It's a Vibe. Dunno, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's when I was kind of really being true to myself. Like, words I would say.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, things I'll talk about is more me, you know what I'm saying?
Mm.
Silver and Gold, don't get twisted, that was 100% me, but I feel like it was more the musical me than the me understanding me, if that makes sense. So yeah, honestly speaking, like, even with what you said, like, I've had to learn the hard way.
Yeah,
because I was too busy looking at what was outside than looking what's within.
Mm.
So, yeah, man.
And I think, yeah, like, you're going the right way, and that is what, yeah, builds a organic audience. And I've seen the love that you get on social media, so you're obviously doing something right. come on.
Absolutely.
So yeah, you spoke about It's a Vibe. You said, yeah, Virgin get in contact with you. What's that process like now? Are you under management this whole time? Because everything's a learning curve, right? So just the people who are listening and they're like, oh, I'm putting out YouTube, I'm on SoundCloud, Virgin, like, at what stage stage is it like is it your friends who are coming up with you as well? Like, so I suppose the people who've never been in this position, like, are you going to a management agency? Is a management agency getting in contact with you?
I shouted out one of my boys, Tolu.
Yeah.
And at the time, I had another manager called YB. Mm. Two amazing geniuses, like.
Okay.
But you need to understand, we are all new to this.
Okay.
So when they've reached out to me saying, yo, man, we're going to send out some contracts and da-da-da. And he was just like, yeah, we're going to put some... I'm thinking, yo, is this really happening?
Yeah.
And they're talking... one of the first questions is like, do I have a music lawyer? I was like, no. Yeah. Like, you know what I'm saying? Mm. Like, how do I even find... How do I go about looking for a music lawyer? Then they had... My two managers at the time had some connects and... We were learning as we were going.
Yeah.
That's why, like...
Was you scared? Sorry to cut you up. And the reason I say was you scared is because, you know, I've watched a few music films, like even like Straight Outta Compton, right? Mm-hmm. I'm sure you've seen that. Mm-hmm. And in Straight Outta Compton, like, the manager steals all the peas.
Yeah.
So when they're talking like music manager, are you like...
But you need to understand, these are people that I can vouch for, okay, that had a genuine interest in who I was.
Okay.
Like, one thing I will boldly say is, and why I'll always hold them dear to me, is because they saw value in me when I didn't see value in myself.
Yeah.
I couldn't understand why people liked me, but these guys are saying, nah, man, they will tell me you're actually the coldest. Mm. Like, you know what I'm saying? I didn't believe in myself. I'll be real with you. But I had a team that had greater vision than I had for myself.
That's great.
That it was, honestly, without them, I don't think I'll be half the man I am today.
Oh, mate, big them up. Big up.
No, Tolu and YB, Benny, my family.
Yeah, big. So going back to what you're saying, sorry, before I cut you up. Mm. So you were like, you had the two geniuses. They had a few plugs. This is really the music lawyer stuff.
And yeah, but sorry, cut you imagine, up. Even with the plugs, they didn't know how to use it. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's just like, oh my gosh, I've got someone that does this or know someone that does this. So I'm going to reach out to them.
Yeah.
And we just started deep in that. We started going into meetings and this room and that room and was like, yo. Mm. I remember the first day we stepped into Universal, the actual label building. And I was just like, yo. Like, I'm seeing they have a wall of all the sub-labels that are under Universal. Yeah, I'm just seeing, yo.
You understand why they're called Universal?
Yeah. Like, my mind is blown. But at the same time, I'm just thinking like, yo, I need to make sure I make the most of this opportunity.
Yeah.
Because at the same time, I am getting advice like, well, this is business at the end of the day. Mm. So understand, it's a dog-eat-dog world.
Yeah.
No one's your friend. That's something that kind of drilled into me.
Yeah.
No one's your friend.
Mm.
But at the same time, my experience with Virgin was A1. I met some amazing people, had some sick opportunities come out of that.
Mm.
So, yeah, man.
And, so being at a big... company like Virgin, you said you had some amazing opportunities. I know we've spoken in the past and you say you have some amazing opportunities, but sometimes, I don't know, like you said, you felt like they weren't always looking. Like, did they help you produce the songs that were released on Spotify through that period?
No. Like, again, like, one thing, and again, I thank God for just how I've been molded, is because the work always falls back down to yourself.
Mm.
If I was to talk to any artist that wants to come up, is don't think your manager is going to do all the work.
Yeah.
Don't expect people to do work for you.
Yeah.
Unless you're in that position to pay people to do the work for you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You always need to come back down to yourself and be prepared to get busy. Because realistically, no disrespect, Virgin didn't line me up with any producers or get me into sessions or whatnot.
But that's mad, right? So they sign you. So what, are they just kind of signing you to kind of own you in case something bangs? Like,
that's the game.
Madness.
That is the game. Like, if you have something that's popping, okay, let me just put my bud in so that just in case you grow, we've already said dibs.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the game. But if you are not, oh my gosh, popping a number one, the more popping you are, the more invested they are in you.
And you
need to understand, this time, all I've had is viral moments on social media.
So it's not
that I have like the millions coming in and da da da. So again, it's, they were invested, but not as invested as I needed them to be. And where I'm coming with a sound that they're not used to.
Yeah.
Like, I give them a real Afrobeat song. They ended up signing Reload It.
Yeah.
So I give them a real Afrobeat song, and what labels do is they, well, I can't talk for all labels, but what labels usually do is they have formulas and they just try to repeat formulas expecting the results they saw with another artist.
Yeah.
And sometimes it doesn't work.
Of
like
course
that,
not.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
but again.
So what, with Reload It, they tried to engineer it, or they did engineer it, and
They mashed their works with it.
Okay.
But at the same time, a lot of the groundwork was with my team.
Okay.
And my experience with my team is what made me, that experience with Virgin and seeing the effort my team put behind it, because I'm with a label and I'm still investing some of my own money back into this.
That's so crazy.
You know what I'm saying?
That's
a
so
lot of
crazy.
Key artists realize I've got a label, they'll pay for it. I'm still paying for things.
Yeah.
But it made me realize that maybe I didn't need a label.
Yeah.
And again, like seeing the success of Good Love and Owner that happened literally shortly after Reload It made me realize that, oh my gosh, maybe I actually don't need a label, and maybe the dynamics of life are changing where the power is back in the streets and social media and the people rather than the machine, because that's what they call labels. They call them the machine.
Machines,
they'll make it work. From there.
And you know, it's good that you've mentioned Good Love. It's good that you've mentioned Owner. So they were whilst you were with the label, but you just did your basically the label's not investing in you. So you're a go-getter. That's something I've learned from you. You're like, if they're not gonna help me, I'm gonna help myself.
One thing I say is you can't stop my train.
Yeah.
I am not stopping for nobody.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And yeah, so Good Love. Who produces Good Love?
ATG. We linked up with Afrobeat superstar in Nigeria called Oxlade.
Okay.
And I have to shout out Bizzle, who A&R'd the session with, again, Tolu, my manager at the time. So it was just, yeah, man, that was a beautiful thing, man.
Okay, sick. And then Owner, I mean.
Melabidi, wannabidi. Trust me, man. That, again, you see how I told you, like, I don't plan anything.
Yeah.
Owner was not planned.
Okay.
By nobody.
No? Is that your first song with over a million streams?
Yeah, that was my first million plus.
Come on.
Like,
the first of many, by the way. The first of many. So, yeah. Okay.
Man. Like, again, that happened organic. Nobody planned that.
Yeah.
And I recorded that in Ends in Dagenham.
Oh, did you?
Like, yeah, I'm saying, like, that's when I recorded it, and no one expected that to be that. But certain situations had to happen before that for us to even just find ourselves in the same building.
And that was produced by Oluwa J
Beats, a legend, man.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
And Keys the Prince. This is why I say things. My life is weird. Keys the Prince is my twin. Like, you need to understand, he's born the 3rd of July.
Oh, mad.
You understand? Same year, same everything. Ended up going same uni. The year that I got signed, he got signed.
Yeah,
he got his driving license. The month he got his driving license, the same month I got my driving license. And none of this is planned, you know?
You're not living in a parallel universe.
I swear to you. I always, opposite ends.
Yeah. So did you know him at Kent's or no?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, okay,
that's
you did.
My
okay,
guy.
Okay, cool,
and
cool,
for
cool.
time, you know when you have your guy, oh yeah, we're going to do music, man. We're going to jump. And I promise you, the first time we actually ever link up to do music, we get over a million.
Yeah.
And it's crazy, man. Like, that's someone that's always supported and being genuine, man. So yeah.
So okay, so I'm just gonna ask this because it comes to my head, right? You link up once, you get a million. It's a great recipe. When's the next one? When are you cooking another million plus stream song?
This year,
2022.
This year, 2020. Hey, mark it down. No, I'm doing
madness. Okay, I'm looking forward to that, man. Looking forward to that because, yeah, Owner was massive. The remix was massive. The music video was massive. Yeah.
Big up Two Tone, Sharav, the whole team, man.
Yeah, and okay, so a song like Owner, you said it was produced in Dagenham. Yeah, like music videos and stuff like that. How has that developed over the years? You know, I know you were doing stuff for YouTube,
yeah,
and now you're doing these big kind of, you know, music videos that are being developed, mansions,
girls,
it's like crazy. Like the production, is that like the management who are sorting that out?
Yes and no. Everyone has their team and people that agreed or wants to get into business. Because I really started off with shooting £200, £100, £150 videos to solid five digits into videos. So, honestly speaking, with that, again, is business. You always sign your contracts before any of these things happen or manifest.
Mm.
But it's different, like, from the stylist to the planning to the briefs to, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, the cameras being used. Like, I remember I used one of my boys' cameras, small cameras, to now using, like, camera qualities at 40K a camera. Like, the red cams, the REs, all of that. So it's just been, it's been a crazy experience, man.
No, I love to hear that. And I suppose, you know, just thinking about, I feel like there are going to be some potential, you know, people in, I listened to that podcast about Eddie Josh and it inspired me. I'm going to want my, I'm going to want my change.
Yeah,
when, no, I, when we inspire you, I'm coming back for my pound of flesh.
100%.
But yeah, what I wanted to ask is, like, yeah, so for anybody looking for advice, yeah, you know, you spoke about Tolu and YB and, you know, all those people that had your best interests at heart. When it comes to, first of all, you need a team, right? You can't do this alone.
Yes, there's no I in team. So you need a team.
You need a team.
Like, you, you, they're your backbones. Like, honestly, a lot of my pressures, like, something I must say is there's been enough times that even mentally, like, I'm drained. My managers, like, are the ones that are just taking in all my weight.
Yeah.
Like, I have to vent to them because I can't. I'm not the type of person to start crying on social media and whatnot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I've had my ups and downs, but you need a team that is for you. Like, not even, like, business. A lot of people think business, but my team was family. You know what I'm saying? Like, we were family. So, yeah, man.
And then, you know, you've spoken about, like, a stylist.
Yeah.
You know, all these things, are you meeting them at networking events? Is the higher, you just learn as you go.
The higher you go, you enter certain rooms and the table's set for you.
Okay.
That is that simple. Like, I couldn't say, oh yeah, I want to work with this stylist and this stylist. They just showed me, okay, here are five stylists. Who you rocking with?
Oh, wow.
You know what I'm saying? Oh, okay, all right, cool. They had connects to this person. Next week I'm meeting this person. They said, all right, come in. Let's do a viewing of clothes, come into the office. I'm in the office, I'm saying, yep, I like this, I like that, I like that, I like that, I like that.
Mate, that's sick.
And boom, the music video, they just had me. Nice.
And, you know, you spoke about your mental, right? And I think it's really important, actually, because, you know, I think you touched upon the fact that you were kind of like a YouTube viral sensation, and then you've gone from being a bit of a viral sensation to, you know, being with a label who, you know, it's like the more known you are, the more effort they're giving you, but they're not giving you effort. It's your team that got you through that, you know.
Yeah, but do you know, again, that's what I've always told you, like, from the jump, it's just about character building. And character building is not team building.
Yeah.
That's separate. Like, honestly speaking, with the mental stuff, it's good to have people there, but I feel like there's some battles you go through alone.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No matter how big the team or how invested the team is into you,
yeah,
they're not always going to be your answer. So again, like, that's why when I'm saying in the, it's more the character building is molding me to become something that even me, I look at myself and even the music I make, I'm like, oh snap, Josh, is this what you're on? Yeah,
yeah. And you know what? To that point, as a musician, so like, as a footballer, as a sports person, you train every day to improve. As a musician, how do you hone your craft? How do you improve?
Do you, for me, I say my gym is studio. Like, I can't afford a month out in the studio.
Yeah.
Like, unless I'm taking it to reset, knowing that I'm going to go back and go 10 times harder. Like, it's, you, to me, it's just been, you have to mold your craft. Work. That's why I have, there's a lot of producers that probably have an issue with me that, oh, Josh, we've recorded so many songs and you haven't released it. Because not every song is meant to be released, which sounds dumb. Some songs are, to me, are like a gym session where it's just like, you know, you've had a good gym session. Imagine going to the gym one time and you're thinking, yep, I'm ripped and I'm ready to go out.
Yeah. No. Okay.
Like, you understand? You go consistently.
It's a good
analogy. Then it gets to a point that you think, okay, yeah, I'm ready to wear this type of shirt, or I'm ready to, yeah, I'm saying, yeah, when you're ready to step out, you would know.
Okay.
And that's always been my journey.
Okay. Yeah. So just going to the studio, and is it, when you're in the studio,
mm-hmm.
are you writing the songs in the studio, or is it just like recording and the sound and the multiple takes, everything's
times,
happening?
Everything in studios, like even how a lot of my melodies come, when I'm in the booth,
mm.
I see a keyboard in my head.
Oh, wow.
Weird. Mm. Like from the harmonies, and like I see the chords, and that's why I just know where to go and what to sing.
That's so crazy. Like, that's how I know I'm, that's how I think I'm creative, but when I hear that, I ain't really creative, and it makes me a bit sad.
No,
man.
But I feel like my understanding of music was birthed from the keys.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? So that's my go-to, that's what I see, and it's like, that's what I know, okay, this makes sense, this don't make sense.
Do you know my mum paid for me to have keyboard lessons back in the day because you were doing it?
So done.
But, well, I don't know if it's because you were doing it, but she was like, yeah, Josh is playing in church. Why can't you be playing in the church? Guess what? No, but, I went to like two lessons.
But I'm going to say something. I have to say something. Do you see where you're talking about inspiration earlier?
Mm.
Do you want to know what played a big inspiration?
Yeah, please, please. The church choir.
The Dominion Centre.
Oh, Dominion Centre.
You see C. Biggs?
From the composers.
I heard him playing keys in that church. I was in the audience, like a small boy looking, thinking, yo, this guy, like...
Shout out C. Biggs.
No, 100%, man.
Mm.
He's a G, and
yeah,
I can't lie to you, stuff like that. I remember your mum used to take me to all like your youth praises and all of that. I used to be gassed, thinking, music I heard. I remember going back to my church and telling the ATGs and saying, yo, see the Dominion Center, because remember my church was in Wood Green,
and your one was just down the road.
So I'm being like, nah, bro, you see that church down there?
Shout out the Dominion Center, the praise and worship,
yeah.
It got hot, like everyone's getting in.
Trust me, man. But again, like, it's stuff like that that's just been my inspiration.
Mm.
You understand? That's made me want to learn more. So yeah, man.
Okay, so just before we get on to like current works and, you know, your plan for the future, just want to touch on like shows. Like, have you done many? Like, you know, Ed Sheeran did like, I don't know, 300 shows in a year, which is just like crazy. Like, what are shows like for you? Do you enjoy them? Are they what you live for? Like, do you want to headline a festival?
Of course. Glastonbury, we're coming for you.
That's what I like to hear.
But, no, 100%, like, shows, that is the, I feel like that's the moment you feel the crowd. Like, again, it's been a molding journey.
Mm.
Like, I used to, when I perform, I used to switch off mentally, and whatever happens on stage is what happens.
Mm.
But as I'm been doing this, is like now I'm getting more of an understanding and feeling the crowd and seeing the lights. And like one of my greatest performances and moments was performing at Wireless, performed at the virtual concert in 2020
in
Alexandra
that.
Palace.
Yeah.
And I had a moment on the stage where I remember looking at Charlie Mace and Keys and Oluwaje Beats and think, this happened. We're here right now because of a quotation mark mistake, and we didn't plan this. The song we made in ends. This ain't no 10 star studio where you have someone saying, hey, what drink would you like, sir?
Mm.
Like, none of that. Like, this is the man them that was just in the hood and just...
So anyone can do it, basically.
I promise you.
Mm.
And I remember just thinking, there's no way man's here right now on stage doing Wireless
because of
something that happened so small like this.
Mm.
So yeah, that was shows and all of that is amazing. I am trying to get to the stage where four shows one night one day. I'm trying to get to that point where I'm just doing back-to-back shows, like the Burners, like the Wizkids, like the Ed Sheerans.
Mm.
But again, it's the learning curve. Like, I might need to start getting myself into the gym because I need to be fit for it. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
there's a lot that I still need to learn as an artist, but we're getting there, man. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah.
So, last year, how many songs did you release?
Last year...
I'm putting you on the spot here.
Let's say Jolof. With an artist from Ukraine called Milano Black.
Mm.
Amazing, phenomenal guy. There's a song called Wi-Fi. I've done a feature for a guy called Janaid.
Mm.
Amazing guy as well. I dropped my single recently, my first single of the year. Really,
yeah, this is 2022, isn't it?
No, 2021.
Okay.
My first single for myself, my project, dropped in October, which is very, very late. But again, it being a learning curve, I was really busy with like the owners stuff. I was still performing owners at different places. So I was just cooking a lot of material. And one thing I did do for my fans, the 31st of December, I dropped two songs that I previewed 2 years prior to that. Because I get the DMs, when are you dropping this one? When are you get? So that was holding me
You were holding it for 2 years?
A lot of my music that I've released, it's been...
I get a bit angry. No,
guys, forgive me. But that's why this year I'm actually giving people current Ade Josh.
Okay.
Like, I'm excited for the music that's coming out this year. Mm. You know what I'm saying? So.
And, so to the fans listening, because I see your Instagram, I see your Twitter, and I know there's a lot of people asking, is there plans for EP, album, anything? I don't know if you can say... You're just cooking. Are you just cooking?
No, do you know what it is? I'm going to tell my people, man. It's the Galdem season.
Hey, I've seen that.
That's all I need to say. It's the Galdem season. Okay. We're live. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. But, yeah. Got the tunes ready for summer?
For the whole year.
For the whole
next
year.
5 years. Like, okay. Trust me, this one, serious. Serious.
Okay. All right. Josh, I think, you know, we're coming to an end. And I think, you know, before I let you go, to any aspiring musicians, What would you say to them, man?
I'll say the only job we have as creatives is to create and go. Don't wait, man. Don't allow the train to stop. Like, you are not growing or doing anything if you stop. It's best that you drop a song and you only get 5 plays than you get none, because you're trying to be this best version of you. Like, mistakes, there's beauty in mistakes. There's beauty in errors. Because you can learn from it. I feel like the greatest gift given to mankind is to learn. Because that's the only thing that assures that you are better than who you were yesterday.
Yeah.
So just go, create. And if you have 2 fans, cater to the 2 fans. And everything will build from there.
Jeez. And what's the biggest thing you've learned on your musical journey so far?
The biggest thing I've learned is humility. Because anything and everything can be taken away from you at any time,
like that. All right, just a couple of more questions. This has been great. Ade Josh in 5 years. Will I be able to book him in 5 years? Where do you see yourself? I'm joking.
We family, so we love you regardless. But in 5 years, honestly, if I'm not global, then call me a liar, man.
Okay, book it. I'm clipping that. Josh, this has been a great hour.
I appreciate you for bringing me on. You know what I'm saying? This is my first anything this year, so I feel like I'm already starting the year on a high.
Yeah, come on.
I just come back from Cyprus like a couple of days ago, less than a week ago, and I feel like I've just started the year so amazing. So again, stuff like this just has me pumped for the year.
All right. You know what I'm saying? The final thing before I let you go. Obviously, you heard me trying to do my own vocals for my podcast at the start.
Yeah.
Are you going to give me advice on how I can actually, you know, on what I should do for the intro? Can you help me with the intro?
Shall I be real with you?
Yeah, please do.
Shall I be real with you? This is your thing.
Okay,
so,
okay.
However it feels organic for you.
Okay.
Because don't get it twisted. You're laughing at the vibe, chat, bah. But I'm telling you, that can catch and that can just become
the thing
that everyone's saying. So, bro, continue.
That's my plan.
I'll say do a voiceover, do everything you need to do, and don't watch no one but yourself.
Okay.
I'm saying.
Guys, if you've made it to the end of the episode, Josh, before I let you go, do you want to plug your socials, everything, Spotify? Ooh. Where can people find you, man?
All right, this one for the Galdem, because it's the Galdem season. That's it. You can find me on Instagram. That's Ade Josh Nani.
Oh my God, he's whispering. He's whispering for the Galdem.
Okay. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
And you can find me on Twitter. That's Ade Josh Official.
Yeah.
Ade Josh on YouTube, Spotify, and I'm gonna be your favorite artist, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
So yeah, man, watch out, man.
All right, and from me, if you've made it all the way here, guys, thank you so much. I didn't say it at the start, but if you've enjoyed this, please like, subscribe, show love, comment, you know, just help to take this international. Josh wants to be global in 5 years. Guess what? So do I.
See you at the top.
You know what I mean?
I'm saying.
That's it. I'll see you at the top. With that, it's been Vibes and Tribes, man.
Always.
Over and out.